just want to make sure we start getting all this out. It's interesting, right? Because you talk about if we don't actually record or if we don't actually note the things that we want to have importance in our life, we don't actually focus on them, right? And so this is an example of that kind of immersion, in my opinion. It happens with me a lot, too. If I don't actually have some of the more personal things on my task capture, for instance, in a given week, they completely fly by me, and work typically takes priority with most of my waking hours. So it'll be a shift. I mean, one of the things we talked about in the workshop was even putting down coaching and sort of items that you want to work on with individual team members on your personal 2x2. Has anybody attempted to start thinking through that?
Yeah, I have. I listed out the people that I, really wanted to help, coach, and kind of some thoughts around, specific actions I wanted to coach on, and I think that really helps. Again, putting it down there and having a focus, it becomes much more apparent, and you look for opportunities that when that can be accomplished. I think that, when it's not, just kind of on your mind, like, yeah, I've got to do this as part of the day, it's much easier to get lost or, not accomplished. So.
And the personal coaching side, by the way, is something we'll revisit later on in the quarter in terms of how you actually approach developing people. But it's an interesting sort of cross from the personal side. Any other wins? Anybody else?
Steve, I thought it was interesting on the personal coaching is when you lay out all your objectives and then you go to the individuals and start with identifying their strengths and then how do their strengths assigning the task under an initiative to people underneath you based on their strengths. And that's often, a step that I skip is you have a initiative, there's some tasks, he says, okay, I want to help work with this person, you assign them certain initiatives on the task, but you haven't really thought through, does this play to their specific strengths or not? And so, in some of the examples in your material, I think there was one example where they had good analytical skills but weren't good with people, right, or tend to frustrate people or annoy people.
Right.
Was something. You got to be careful, are you putting that person in a situation where they're going to be interacting with people or are they actually doing more of the work, analysis work themselves? I thought that was, for me, a very helpful insight to as I start to think about delegating things, to make sure that I first start with the strengths of the person and then start to assign bits and pieces of that.
Yeah, and I think the key there is understanding what their strengths are, to your point, but also understanding what's the appropriate amount of risk that you can go and develop a weakness in. Right? You don't want to throw them into the deep end too soon on something you know is a weakness for them versus giving them small bite-sized chunks to break off and gain a little confidence, gain a little bit of skill set, and then continue to develop in an area where they just don't have development in.
Yeah, and that was a big insight for me last week in a few areas where it was, last week was pretty eye-opening for me about just kind of the gaps and the holes that we have in the company, and it started when I started looking back, I was like, we are assigning certain responsibilities to people that really does not play to their strengths, and so we need to restructure some of these, and so it was, that was helpful, that was my win.
Great, thanks. Anybody else have any wins? Or progress, or even obstacles? Yeah, Peter?
Yes, Peter, we're finally able, we've been dealing with an insurance claim on a vehicle, for countless months, I think, 6-7 months. We had a vehicle that was supposed to be picked up from our the to the auction. And Metro has hired a third party to pick up the vehicle. So this third party ended up getting in an accident, causing damage to another vehicle. It was a big ordeal. Anyways, that person was not insured, and the insurance company for that third party drive service wasn't covering the expenses. So it ended up on us. So finally, we got with Metro, and for about a month, just continued to communicate with them and push them to make this right. And yesterday, they finally got me a couple checks, one for a little over $30,000, another one for almost $4,000 to cover our end of the insurance claim. And it really just took committed action, you know, holding them accountable. Continuous follow-up, and you know they followed through. So it really just comes down to holding people accountable for what they say they'll do, and so that was a win because you know in the past I may not have held people as accountable, and now I really am in a position where I feel I can easily hold people accountable, and so it had a big impact, and now we'll be able to. Cover our end on that.
Nice. So, you know, you mentioned accountability and sort of committed action language a couple times, both in the quarterly workshop as well as here, and in kind of just brief conversations in between. What about the reciprocity of accountability? Do you find that now that you're using committed action language that you're finding possibly a higher bar for yourself, or what impact is it having on your own actions outside of holding others accountable?
I'm able to accomplish more because I'm putting more of the onus on them. It's not on me. I've gotten them to commit to me. So when it's other individuals that have made the commitment to me, there's not a lot of additional effort that I need to take. It's really on them because I've gotten them to tell me what they're going to do. So that's a big difference where, you know, previously I probably would just, you know, do things on my own and try to take action on my own, and it cost me more effort. So what I've tried to do is leverage committed action to put more responsibility on the other person. And if they've committed it to me, then they know and they're holding themselves accountable to get it done. So it helped me, you know, accomplish a little bit more by holding other people accountable with less effort.
Cool. Nice. Anybody else? Obstacle?
Hey, guys. Vance.
Joseph? Okay.
Me and Peter got together Monday, our normal time block for Sagan, and we went over hot and cold conflict, and actually ran into a situation Monday evening with Mike on a deal. Where, you know, things got pretty heated up, you know, immediately. I know Jeremy was up there viewing what was going on, just observing. One of the things I was aware of during the conflict but, you know, avoided was, you know, I was listening to what he was saying, but I was neglecting to process that information and really consider it as, you know, a valuable, you know, option that we could take on the deal. But I know it's probably not a win. But the awareness of knowing that, you know, hey, I really did not process that information, allowed me to go back and to, you know, have that conversation with Mike and let him know, like, you know, hey, you know, I think I was emotionally attached to the decision, and, you know, I really did not process all the information, you know, at that time because, you know, tempers were heated, you know, and I was just emotionally attached to my own decision. But it allowed me to go back. Just by being aware that, you know, hey, I heard what he was saying, but I neglected to actually process that information. So that was a pretty, you know, pretty good moment Monday that allowed me just to be aware of, you know, actually processing information whenever you are in a heated, you know, debate. And then the second area was on the personal task matrix. Like Jeremy said, you know, just kind of getting some stuff on paper, you know, it allows you to actually, you know, decide, you know, what tasks you need to get to, prioritize those tasks, And, you know, sometimes, you know, put some stuff off on the back burner, just depending on if it's important or if it's, you know, actually doable for that day. So that was another one for me, just seeing my days be a lot more fluid, and actually I'm able to, you know, put some of the lower priority tasks on hold and get some of the immediate stuff done quicker whenever I see it all on paper. So that was pretty good.
Nice. And that's a good segue to today's topic, which is personal task capture and management. So with that, I want to open it up. Again, I'll preface this with, you know, most people come into advanced execution or even just at this stage in their career, they already have a system in place for how they actually capture notes, to-dos, action items, et cetera. What we're really looking for is the adaptation of that, or at least an adjustment of that, to fit in with the 2x2 system, as well as making sure that we're capturing all the context that we tend to want to balance or need to balance as executives, as opposed to some of the more narrow focuses that we tend to look at when we just have a homegrown, organic, developed system. So with that, can anybody walk me through what the four major kind of contexts we tend to balance with task capture and management?
The who, what, when, where, and why?
Yeah. That was five of the four. Which one doesn't belong? Or which one did we not cover? Yeah, I heard it. Somebody said it.
What did we not cover?
Well, the where is what you were, someone mentioned where, and we don't really cover where, per se. It doesn't mean it's not a context that we need to balance, but it's just something that we didn't actually cover within our material. So why? What's the actual vehicle that helps us determine why we're doing anything?
2x2.
Exactly. And then can anybody walk me through what their personal, I know we were going to actually refocus on this and we covered it a little bit in the actual workshop, but can anybody walk me through what their current system is? Steve, you mentioned you're pretty happy with your current system. Can you walk us through that?
Our what? Your current
task. Your current system? You said you were pretty happy with how you actually manage your tasks and cover your tasks. Can you walk us through what you
What I do is, each Sunday night, I do a recap of the prior week and then set the current week. And so what it starts is I list out my three annual goals, and I just rewrite them every single week, just over and over. I have to rewrite them with a pen, which I think just helps me. And then I rewrite my three monthly goals. Then the things that change weekly is my three top weekly priorities that I have, and then I have my three most important meetings of the week. And then on the right side of the page, I have what are the skills I'm working on this week, and what is the learning tools that I'm using. Like I have this week, you know, each week I have obviously advanced execution as a tool. And the other tool I have is usually a book of I read one book a month. So I look at some principles there. Then I have in there what are my wins, what are my losses, what fixes do I want to work on, and what are my ahas. And then last thing is what am I most grateful for this week. So that's kind of capturing all that, I lay that, review that for the prior week, and then set that out for the following week. And it sounds like a lot, but it literally takes me 8 or 9 minutes to put all this, because a lot of it's just continuation, right? Then I take my calendar and my phone, and I set up the tasks that fit into my weekly and monthly goals that I want to work on, and I block off time to work on those. And then when I go into the individual meetings or initiatives in my phone, I'll open it up in the notes section and I'll do something similar to what you have on the pen to paper. What do I want to accomplish on there? What are some of the key points I want to discuss? So again, it sounds complicated, but there's a whole book I've been using for about 4 years, Darren Hardy, that just lays it out. Once you get into the rhythm, I mean, it literally takes a few minutes a day.
Gotcha.
I don't spend more than 5 to 8 minutes a day, and I don't spend more than 30 minutes at the end of the week.
And so to summarize, within each meeting or within meetings during the week, you're using a paper pen sort of templated approach, right?
Yeah, it's similar to the pen-to-paper formula, and I have it all built in my Outlook calendar and my phone. So in each meeting, and let's say I have a meeting next Wednesday, what I do is when I first set the meeting now, let's say if it's today and someone schedules a meeting for next Thursday, I'll put the meeting time in, and I'll take 15, 30 seconds to say the purpose of this meeting is, and I'll write capture a couple things. Then as things come across throughout between now and next Thursday, I will start to do my pen and paper as I think of stuff through the week. So I don't have to do the whole pen and paper at one time because I capture stuff as I go. And it's just, oh, I didn't think of that. You know, I'm going to put that in. I've got to address this issue. Let me put that in this issue in the meeting next week with Peter, right? And so that helps me build that pen to paper. So when I talk about pen to paper, it's not just sitting down and capturing everything at one time. Sometimes I can do it if it's like a regular structured meeting that I kind of know what we're talking about. Other things is if it's a one-off meeting, I'll have, you know, things prepare as it builds to the meeting.
Gotcha. So that's a fairly integrated and robust system. Can anybody contrast that with a system they use that might tend to err a little bit on the simpler side that has worked or you're looking to adjust?
This is Jeremy. I use mine isn't near as robust, but I use a little bit more technology. I really like using Evernote. I have used it because, one, I can take it anywhere. And I tend to lose track of papers when I write things down. And so when I have a system in Evernote that kind of has some, I have people in there. And so sometimes if I want to remember or remind myself something about a particular person or, you know, something that me and a person are working on, I have a list in there. And the thing I like about Evernote is it's searchable and it's you know, easy to transport. I can use my iPad, my iPhone, my computer, anywhere I'm going, I can pull up and reference things. And so I also use, like, we'll take notes during certain meetings that I'm in. So, like, our Monday morning meeting, I have, an ongoing note for that. And then I also use, because it is searchable, I use the term action items. And so anytime I queue up action items in there, I can just go search action items, and it basically pulls up a list of things. And so one of the things I want to try to adapt with it is sometimes I feel like I could gain a little bit more by using pen and paper, write things down, and then come back to it and kind of recollect my thoughts in a more quiet environment, because sometimes it in the moment I'm not able to capture everything electronically on my phone or iPad, and then when I go back into it, I say, well, what specifically did I want to get out of this, or what was I really trying to accomplish? And then the other part of it is, you know, one of our ground rules is no multitasking, and so when I have my phone open and I'm it looks like I'm texting or emailing or, you know, maybe not giving the person the full attention when we're in a meeting. And so that's kind of one of the things I think I'd like to adapt and find out a little bit more effective way to incorporate paper and then sort of the
you know, I've been using the 5-minute prep tape where I print out like 20 copies at a time. And and then what I do with my I go back into my phone, I pull open the meeting, and then I just write down using the 5-minute prep sheet, because there is something unique about writing it down, having to write it down where you're seeing what you're writing.
I started using those sheets, and I like it, the 5-minute prep, and one of the things that's nice about Evernote, too, is you can actually take a photo and just add it into the note. So a couple of times last week, I used my 5-minute prep. I took a photo of the handwritten sheet, and then I can add it into, like, that the electronic version. And I can't pull up those, you know, but, you know, I think it's just sort of a, you know, kind of a trial and error right now, making sure that, you know, the thing I want to add to it also is to be able to, you know, have a time at the end of the week where I go back through and do, like, some, you know, my, add a little bit more robust weekly preparation into it, and using the system that I have right now is something I'm going to work on.
You know, it's interesting, right? So one of the things that I could sort of speak to is the fact that when I use Evernote as well pretty consistently, and I run into the same problem. People think I'm just multitasking during meetings when I'm actually taking notes. One of the things that I tend to find that works really well is I just announce it ahead of time. Hey, guys, I take notes on Evernote. It's on my computer, on my phone, or my iPad. I'm not multitasking. I'm actually taking notes while we talk. And that usually clears the way and clears any kind of confusion that might actually happen early up. So you may want to consider that if that's an adjustment you want to make. And the other thing that, you know, to Steve's point is just literally printing it out, and then you already know, take a photo, it'll tag on its own, which works out really well.
Hey, Ruth, this is Jeff. I wasn't here for the workshop, but, you know, obviously, you know, I'm a little older than most in the room and or on the call, and so, you know, when I look at the system I use, I think it's driven by a basic principle, which, listening to Jeremy, you know, the challenge of things like Evernote, which I don't use, I think I'm familiar with it, but is what I try to do is ruthlessly declutter. And, you know, the temptation is to, you know, take notes and hang more, and, you know, there's multiple features in these things, and you end up, I certainly do, you know, you end up with so much there that, you know, it's so much clutter that you, so the thing I try to do is ruthlessly declutter down to the priorities that I really need to do, and I think that's something when you're running an operational department, you've really got to kind of wrestle with every day, because there's so much, you know, in the noise, you know, and if you take notes on every little action and everything, you're just going to kind of wear yourself down, you know, and there'll be so much distraction. So ruthlessly decluttering to get down to your priorities, I think, would be something I would advocate, and it's what I do using old school methods of pen and paper, you know, and I've got my book, you know, but I ruthlessly declutter down to what I'm going to try and do.
You know. Do you use the book like as a calendar too? Like if I
no, I use my phone as a calendar and a reminder, because again, you know, I'll forget. Yeah, I mean, one thing I recognized early on in my career is you're going to forget as a human. You're going to forget. So all of I use my phone as a simple reminder for meetings and follow up on items. So I will put markers on my phone calendar for, you know, follow up with Esther, follow up with Peter, you know, follow up with, you know, 3-4 days out, just to remind myself that that's an ongoing, because otherwise your list gets too long. So I try to keep my list down to the things I've ruthlessly got to focus on personally, and use my phone as my reminder for follow-up items that other people are doing that I, if you like, own and have to follow up on. So that's the kind of simple system I use. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's something that it predates computers. I don't know if that helps. There's much more modern techniques that others can use.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up a really big point, right, which is, so in the actual module, one of the things we talked about was basically discipline and consistency are kind of the two keys to any sort of task capture and management system. And the beauty about Evernote is that it helps reduce the amount of hurdles you face when you need to be consistent, right? Because it's, accessibility is everywhere, and that's kind of the same principle for Steve's system, right? He's got so many little pieces of his actual system in place in different forms and formats that it's really hard not to be consistent if you don't want to be consistent. Yeah. One of the things that Evernote does run the risk, and you beautifully illustrated this, Jeff, is that if you have too much, then you really don't have a system at all. It's really easy to throw everything in there, and it can get unorganized and unwieldy very quickly. And if you're not disciplined about how you cull it and how you simplify it and reorganize it, it really takes away a lot of the efficiency you gain from being online. I don't know if anybody else has had that experience, but I mean, what I tend to do now is actually I spend, you know, probably an embarrassing amount of time actually reworking my notes and reworking the system to make sure that it doesn't get cluttered, which is counterintuitive to how people would think about their own sort of note-taking system. Anybody have any experience with that?
I think that, I find that when I'm trying to declutter and I'm going back and reorganizing, that's a way to, again, I'm like constantly reminding myself why, what am I trying to do there? And to Jeff's point, to declutter and to really scratch things off, or in the electronic world, to delete something, it sharpens the focus on what really you're trying to do. And so, I mean, whatever system it is, whether it's notebook or, you know, sticky notes all over your office, being able to scratch something off or delete it out, saying, you know, that it frees up the space, the ability to do work. And that's one of the things I think that reorganizing whatever system you use kind of helps you sharpen and stay on point.
Because you're in a situation where you're in an environment where you're constantly interrupted.
Yeah.
And that forces you to react. So think about space you can create, getting out of there a little bit. But as long as you're in that environment, stuff's going to come your way.
Yeah, I've kind of, and that's been really big for me to recognize that when I'm up there, I have a really hard time doing anything other than working inside the business. If I'm thinking about anything other than what's going on around, it becomes very difficult.
I can do that, yeah.
Yeah, so physically removing myself from that is important whenever I want to get something like this.
One of the assignments within the implant, and this is like a quick win, quick hit sort of thing that you guys can get, is to actually make an adjustment to your current system, and then talk and bring it back to the class with respect to what you did and how you might adjust it. Now, I know Steve's pretty set in his system, and Jeff, it sounds like you have a pretty good system in and of itself as well, but can anybody else speak to an adjustment they plan on making, they might be taking, and sort of set the bar for how we might watch this unfold?
This is Peter. I really haven't been using task management until recently. When we were right around 50 cars a week, I kind of had my processes. I had a routine. I really didn't have to plan as much, or so I thought, because I had my routine. And what I found with the increased volume is I can be very productive when I plan things out. So I went back to doing certain time blocks for some of my most important tasks. And in the last week, I felt much better about the tasks getting done. But what I haven't done well is when I'm asked to do something, whether it's Jeremy or Jeff or the buyers or Steve, what I don't really take the time to do is look at my schedule and figure out when I can actually do those things. Typically what I'll do is say, yeah, you know, that's something I can get done by today or tomorrow, without really taking just 5-10 minutes and looking at my schedule and figuring out when a good time is to get that done. So one of the things that I'll have to work on, I do want to incorporate my phone. That's just one step to helping me with task management. But another thing that I want to continue to work on is, when I'm asked to do something that's outside of maybe a typical day-to-day task, what I really should be doing is just asking to, making a commitment to commit at a later time, figuring out, taking the 5-10 minutes, looking at my schedule, and really planning out when a good time is to take on an additional task. Because what I typically will find myself doing is I'll do this new task that comes up, I get it done, but then something else that I was supposed to get done that day, didn't get finished, so then I'm scrambling, the next day to try to get that done. And I think if I just planned it out a little bit better, just in 5-10 minutes, I could really figure out a better, more efficient time to get certain tasks done. So that's one thing that I definitely have to work on.
Thank you for sharing. Vance, before everyone joined us on the call, you had mentioned you downloaded Evernote. You were starting to play around with it. Can you walk us through sort of why you decided to download it, or what's the shift there, if there's anything to that?
Yeah, with me, I started to kind of play around with Evernote yesterday, and just because just doing some review on it, looking at some features that it has, it allows everything to be in one area, and I'm able to share that information I put on there on all my devices, as opposed to what I do now, which I may jot some stuff down on paper, then I go put it in my computer on my calendar, then I have a separate calendar for my phone, and then I spend a lot of time trying to synchronize all three, and things get cluttered, things get lost, and just a lot of the time, it causes even more time spent on going back and collecting that information or that data that I need to go forward with the task or the schedules or the meetings that I have. So that's, the big reason why I started to look for another device that I could use that could help me, really cut down that time that I'm investing on just trying to synchronize and get everything all in one place. The other area, it helps me prioritize a lot better and get things in line for my day. That way there's not overlapping initiatives or tasks, that cause me to, put things on the back burner and sometimes, forget about them or never, accomplish those tasks or those scheduled appointments that I have. So that's the big area for me. It's just one being the time spent on trying to synchronize the three different formats I use now, two, just really trying to get everything on one page to prioritize everything. That way I'm more efficient at getting my task accomplished.
Nice. Thank you for sharing that.
I think you touched on an important point, Vance, that in today's modern world, you've got to either go the integration route and use something like Evernote to integrate all of your various, or decide that you're going to ignore a load of and only have one chosen method. I never use, for instance, my calendar on my computer. Ignore it. Never use it. Because everything I do on my calendar and all my reminders are in my phone. If I was smarter, I would be able to integrate them all and go Apple, but I don't, So I don't try to integrate. I consciously say everything to do with my calendar and reminders is in my phone calendar, and everything to do with my tasks is on my task list in my book. And so that's my simple way of integrating. But if you are, like Vance, using multiple things, use something like Evernote to integrate, because otherwise you've spent so much time trying to coordinate across the two and you never know where to look. So would be advice from you've got to simplify it now, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because, I mean, we talked about in the actual workshop the level of complexity that you can actually introduce on something as simple as task capture, which is really, at the end of the day, let's call it what it is. It's note-taking and organizing your to-dos out of every single meeting you're in. That level of complexity can be pretty astounding given all the options that are in front of you and the way that's going. I mean, you have Trello and you have all these other sort of office productivity tools that start to get into that space. You have Evernote, you have Outlook, and Microsoft, which is trying to sort of reinvigorate that space to make it more cloud-based. I mean, it's pretty easy to get complex real fast. And so I love this advocacy that Jeff's pointing out, which is, you know, simplicity on the other side of complexity might not be a bad thing. Yeah.
That also plays root to when I, again, a thing that I wrestled with was playing back to one of the early techniques you guys promoted into the team was, you know, Outlook folders and files and, you know, I'll be honest, I played with that years ago when it first and got very complex and found that I was forgetting so where to look. I had so many versions of my inbox. So I then boiled down where I basically keep everything in my inbox, but again ruthlessly clear that out to leave just what I'm working on. So I've got typically, you know, about 50 messages, which a lot of textbooks would say is too many in my inbox, you know, but I don't have, my only rules now that I've got is delete, you know, messages I know that are coming in, mostly like anything from Steve Hall goes straight, I think I went the complex route, then found that I couldn't manage it, I couldn't comprehend it, so I had to go back to a really simple method, which is daily clearing out, works for me, daily clear out my inbox, keep it down to what I need to pay attention to, and if I routinely receive promotional messages and that, always set up a delete rule on them to clear those out, so I never see them. But again, you know, that's all that works for me, but I'm not saying it's right, it's just...
There are a lot of rules you can set up to actually eliminate those automatically. Like one of the things I've done is, anything I'm CC'd on, I don't see.
Yeah.
Deliberately, it just goes, and so I have tons of that stuff going a day, and then anything that, like, if people, like, there's certain people that just send me stuff that's just pointless, that goes, I have a folder that's just irrelevant is the name of it, and it just goes, I never see their email, so it's just helped me, my email have been reduced probably 70% of what I get a day, and that's, I don't get hardly any as much anymore.
I've just chosen irrelevant to be trash. So
it's funny though that
you set up the individual. These are people that
it's funny though, you just find the system that works for you and go with it. Like if you look at my wife is crazy organized, and her inbox has all these complex mathematical, I think it beams up through a NASA satellite, comes back and does, she's got filters and flags and all these things.
Yeah.
It's worse. It
works for her.
For her,
yeah.
To me, it makes me go longer.
Yeah.
But that's how she keeps track of everything, and it is, but I'm the same way. I don't like to have all that stuff going on. I'd rather just get rid of it, and then I know there's nothing there.
It's really about finding what works for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's ultimately the advocate we make.
And the more you practice it, the more it'll work.
Yeah, I think it's almost like disciplined experimentation.
Yeah.
And you've got to proactively experiment with the tools available to you, and then, you know, in a disciplined way, decide what's working and what's not working and evolve. So, you know, but unless it's a conscious decision, you just end up being more and more disorganized. I mean, you've got to consciously, because there are so, Rupe said it, you know, so many different tools available to you.
I would agree. So, as an assignment, right, because we talked about task capture management to some degree, probably more than I think, you know, we really need to, but one of the two assignments that come out of this is, A, apply some of these principles and integrate it into your organizational focus and alignment practices, and really just even apply it to your structural meetings and weekly focus and then post an insight, right? And the second one is game film it at the end of the quarter and say, what worked, what didn't. And all we're offering there with that last one is awareness, right? If you have awareness, you have choices. If you know that some things work and you can be conscientious about why or how they work, then you can actually go repeat them in a way that's sustainable. And if you game film things that didn't work, then you know what you can learn from them. So those are the two main sort of e-journal posts. And Steve, I'm doing this to sort of honor the request you made, which was help the team sort of find things to post about that might be useful for broader collective learning. So those are the two assignments, but one of the things I'd be curious about is just, it's on people's radar now, right? We're talking about note-taking and really task capture. Even just pointing to a 2-3 sentence e-journal post about the fact that you're paying more attention to it and, you know, it's top of mind as opposed to something that's unconscious would be useful, right? And all I'm asking for is in the next 2 weeks, post one thing about task capture management that might be an insight, might be an obstacle, even if it's as simple as, yep, simplify. I paid more attention to being more simple about how I organize things, and it yielded this outcome, whether it's good or bad. So I'm going to close that topic of task capture and management, and we have some more time. And what I'd like to do is engage in sort of, A, either an open sort of discussion on some of the things that are up for you as we set the table for the upcoming quarter, or B, my advocacy would be to start thinking about leveraged team management and what that really means and how we go put it into action. You know, this quarter is about focused action and integration. And, you know, historically, as we've scored our implementation plans, the action part, the integration part, has not necessarily scored as well as the theoretical and concept part. And I want to try to improve that. Any thoughts there?
I'm not sure I understand the question you're seeking feedback on. I get the, yeah, we haven't scored well on action, but what do you
I guess my question is, do you guys want to focus on leveraged team management next, or are there other topics that you think are important that are up for you in the more immediate term that we can focus on to get more integration?
I mean, leverage team management probably is pretty applicable. I think what I'm realizing right now, there's kind of two things going on with me, is just recognizing the speed in which our business is evolving from a customer intimate high margin business to a discount retailer, which requires more operational efficiency. And the whole mindset and approach and way of thinking about the business has to change with that strategy. And I think what I'm noticing is people are understanding why we're making the change and how we're making the changes, but I think I need to do a better job of really understanding how the mindsets and way of thinking and approach to business needs to evolve with the strategy, because the danger is we take the same mindsets and approaches in a customer intimacy strategy into a operational efficient strategy, and we've been here before where, you know, expenses continue to rise at a greater pace than the revenues. And so that's one area where I want to spend, you know, the next quarter just really helping people in the company understand the shift there. And it's the other thing that's come really visible to me is just the lack of clarity on who owns what. I think the way we have kind of managed so much has been owned and responsible by Jeff and I, and we've been more firefighting, and whereas we're growing, we haven't really taken time to explain to people, you own these things, this is what you're responsible for, and these are the measures, and we just need to just start with, you know, one or two key things. And because I found with myself is it's hard to hold people accountable if there's too many priorities, because you just don't have enough time to follow up on all of them, and they don't know which is most important. So for me, it's really about creating that clarity that with each individual, this is the one or two key things you own. This is how you will be measured and held accountable for, and just manage to those few things. So I think it has a lot to do with you know, the team leverage. But so that's where I'm arriving at over the really past week.
Okay, so that's actually really helpful. One of the things we covered or we started to work through in the workshop was IRDA. And it seems like there's some clarity that could be gained from just going through IRDA exercise in depth over the next several weeks. Not necessarily from broader, like, hey, let's change every decision structure, but to get that clarity you're talking about and having people focus on specific things that they can actually impact, if, in fact, we're moving away from the sort of high margin, intimate, you know, situation and more into where execution is sort of, the margins are thinner because execution has to be tighter. Format of work, right? So what I can do is I'm going to set Jay up to actually start. We were going to go into personal 2x2 for the next coaching call that you guys were going to go into. I think there's some relevancy there, and what I'm going to ask them to do is shift part of that time as well into introducing IRDA, because I think IRDA is going to take a little while if we do it right. It should take a couple of our sessions.
Yeah, so that might actually help. Our 2x2 we have on our 2x2 is advanced execution, and under that for Q3 this past week, you know, when you go through it, I don't know if you've seen the tool that Jay gives us, where at the end of each quarter we fill out our measurement, our recap of the 2x2, but in there it says what are the two tools you can use, and I have IRDA down there as in Q3 is the thing that we need to really implement in advanced execution. So that would be very timely, very helpful, because that's a big need for us right now, because we just don't have that clear ownership of decision making. I think everybody thinks that the whole I, the R, the D, and the A is Jeff and I, and you know, there's probably more input and some review going on more today than it is, but certainly the decision and the approval process, I think we need to get better at opening that up.
Okay. So originally I was scheduled to take over IRDA on 8/19. What I'm going to do is have Jay shift it up for next week as part of the time that you guys spend together, in addition to personal 2x2 stuff. And then that gives us an extra space to work on IRDA on the 19th with particular outcomes from that, right? Because some of the assignments are actually implementing for decisions. And so this will be very, very practical from where you guys are at. Any other questions, concerns? I'm going to post a couple prompting questions on the journal this week to generate a little bit more collective learning. So.
Okay. Awesome.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate the time. Sorry for the dial-in snafu. We're going to have that worked out, and we'll have an email clarifying that today, too.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks, Richard.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Take care.
All right. 11 o'clock. I just want to get a couple clarity.
Absolutely.